37. My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Novastream.com.au and the Pop Cultures present In A Row, an 8-week spotlight on one of the kings of indie film, Kevin Smith, starting from 1994's Clerks to 2014's Tusk, along with a glimpse into his future projects. I'm one of your hosts, I'm Ryan. Along with me, I have Alistair.
Hi.
And Dylan.
Snitchy-mitchies.
Let's get straight into it. Now, Kevin Smith is someone that is certainly out there when it talks about his shortcomings, and that's what we're looking at this week. These are movies that he himself has deemed to be failures. We're looking at Cop Out, Jersey Girl, and Zack and Miri Make a Porno. We'll start off with Jersey Girl. Now, in between Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Clerks 2, he decided to take a step away from the Viewersk universe and try make something brand new. It didn't go well, to say the least. Simply put, Jersey Girl is a comedy drama about starring Ben Affleck, Liv Tyler, George Carlin, and Jennifer Lopez. It's sort of based on the idea of this dude whose wife died, and he has to look after the girl. Just put it simply.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
During childbirth.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jennifer Lopez died during childbirth. It was great. What did you guys think?
Alistair?
I like this movie. I don't understand. But then again, I saw this before I knew who Kevin Smith was or actually thought he was any. So for me, like, it wasn't about the sex and fart jokes, which fans of his would love. So I understand why they wouldn't like it. Such a rapid departure from that.
I 100% agree with you there. Yeah. Spot on.
I didn't like that Bennifer was part of it. No one remembers Bennifer. This was Bennifer prime time.
Oh, I remember Bennifer. It's disappointing that it existed in this.
So I can't really blame Kevin Smith for that.
No.
But I didn't think it was bad. Like, you know, J-Lo was only on there for like 15, 20 minutes. And I think maybe that relationship made people go and see the movie. I know it's probably the only reason I saw it, because of Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, the full-blown honesty of like, look, nah, J-Lo's in it, I'll check it out.
Yeah, but I thought Ben Affleck was really good in this. It, like, his character's always, but this kind of felt, I don't know, kind of felt different. Like, having the, you know, career aspirations and all that. So for me, I liked this film. I think the only thing I didn't like was it was a little bit predictable, and that's probably pretty much all that I have to say about it. I don't think it's a failure at all, in my opinion.
Dylan?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously him saying, all right, I'm going to try something different. This is going to be a romantic comedy. I'm just going to give it a crack. And yeah, it was all right. Those names, though, holy crap, Gertie and Ollie Trinky. What the hell is that, honestly? Ollie Trinky? He could have chosen any name, and he went with that. That's all I'm saying. I loved all the Fresh Prince references, you know, like the Fresh Prince is ever going to have a movie career. Yeah, Ben Affleck was really strong, especially that opening when he's in the hallway in the hospital and he finds out that she's died, and it's just like this slow tracking shot back of him like breaking down, and that was really powerful. It was fun to see Matt Dave, Jason Lee in there as well. Every scene with Liv Tyler though was just cringeworthy. Yeah, her lines were so red. It was like she was like delivering them phonetically. It was just nails on a chalkboard for her. And the thing I loved the most, and the thing that made the movie for me, was Will Smith at the end in his like Stan Lee Mallrats cameo, where he just comes in with this sage advice and is just like a genuine nice guy. I love that moment. That made the movie for me.
I agree 100% with Alistair. I loved what he was trying to be. The only reason I saw this film was purely because, you know, Kevin Smith made it. I didn't know it existed otherwise. I went into it with not many expectations. You know, it's sort of been bashed by Kevin himself. I think it was a really good departure from the Viewers universe. As much as I love it, I did agree it was maybe time for him to step away from it and try something new. Yeah, I think, yeah, as I said, Ben Affleck gave a very solid performance, very happy with that. I love George Carlin as his dad. Thought that was great. I think at its core, it is quite a sweet story. I just don't think Kevin Smith's audience is simply the right audience for that film.
But this kind of felt, you know, looking back now, like, I don't know, at the time, if I knew who Kevin Smith was, I would have said he sold out. So a lot of fans were like, oh, he sold out.
Mm.
Doing it for the money, big studio, give me some cash to do a generic film. Am I right? Was that the general consensus at the time?
It potentially could be, but he would tell you himself, he essentially sold out when he did Mallrats, because that was a studio film.
Yeah, I know, but this is
a bit more like straight up studio.
It's so different.
Mm. But I think it's still sort of, it has sort of those tones that you can pick up in Kevin Smith movies. Like, he is very, very emotional, very sort of, so he is trying to tell sort of an emotional story about, you know, someone finding a partner, like, after your first one's dead. That was really blunt. But it also sort of fits in the timeline of him with his kid. Like, I've never really thought about it, but his kid would have been a similar age to Gertie when this film was being made. So I guess he sort of tried to write it personal, but keep it separated in the same time.
Well, I think she would have been a fair bit younger, though, because wasn't Clerks 2 after this?
Yeah, Clerks 2 was after this, but Kevin's
was dedicated to his father at the end, if you notice that. So yeah. It was about, you know, his relationship with his father, or just him making something about that kind of relationship that he wanted to get out, which was nice.
It is very nice. But the next film that we're talking about is essentially his another jump, just quote-unquote selling out. He went over to another studio to make a film that was somebody else's. He didn't write it. He just came on as a director. Now, with this, it all came down to the idea of, like, hey, here's... He thought, he's like, look, I've been doing my own work. I've thought I have my own vision. I keep saying no to all these things. So why not say yes and give it a go? So when the script came for what was originally called A Couple of Dicks, he thought, this is going to be fun. This is going to be great. I can't wait. Let's see how it goes. Now, with a reference to his dad, like, this is the movie, apparently, that his dad, Don, would love. His dad was a very massive buddy cop lover. So he sort of done it as a sort of a thing. It's like, yeah, this is the movie my dad would have loved to have seen. So sort of tying in from Jersey Girl there. But this movie essentially follows two cops played by Bruce...
And sorry, Ryan, what's the name of the movie?
This one's called Cop Out. It got renamed because apparently A Couple of Dicks might be difficult to sell. Now, Cop Out was made in 2010, starring Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan. Sort of follows two cops on the trail of a stolen baseball card, and they find themselves up against just what I'm reading here says, a memorabilia obsessed bloodthirsty gangster. Dylan, what did you think of this movie?
I'd never seen Cop Out before. I missed it in cinemas, and everyone was like, meh, you don't really need to see it. So I was like, all right. I'm not a big Tracy Morgan fan, but watching this, I can see how, overall, I thought it was all right. It was fun. You can watch it in the background, and it's not offensive. It's not terrible. It's all right. Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan made a pretty good pair. I liked that they didn't have the origin of them awkwardly teaming up and being this fish out of water kind of pair. They already knew each other. They're already friends. I can see how the criticism would have gone with people saying, oh, it's so Kevin Smith, like the opening interrogation scene where Tracy Morgan's quoting movies. that was very Kevin Smith, even though it wasn't written by him. I didn't believe Bruce Willis for a second to be a person who would know all those references and be a movie guy. I like the Jewish kind of mum that was sweary and had her gun and yelling at them in the house. That was fun. I like the my favorite moment was when they had the crucifix and it had the USB in it, and both of them at the same time was like, "This goes in a computer!" Like, they both were equally as stupid about how computers work, but they knew it was a computer thing. That seemed really fun. The Adam Brody and Kevin Pollak characters could have been completely taken out of the film and it would have gone through the exact same way. The only thing I liked with them was the scene where they were on the phone at the police department, like, making fun of them. But otherwise, they didn't really add anything. I didn't realize how much of the wedding plot seemed to be a main part of the story, because right at the end, when you think the story's all wrapped up, there's like a good 10-minute epilogue about this wedding. I'm like, oh, I didn't really care if he gives her away or pays for the wedding or not. But apparently that's a big part of the story, so we'll stick around for that. And of course, with all the controversy of Bruce Willis being a douche on set, and Kevin Smith, of course, was a big Bruce Willis fan for many years, and then they worked together on Die Hard 4.0, Live Free or Die Hard, and being a Jersey boy, Bruce Willis was like, yeah, we should get together and make a movie, and Kevin Smith was like, this would be amazing, and it wasn't. So there's some funny stories about that, but yeah, overall, I thought it was all right.
Also,
if there was a poster child for a bag of shit, this movie would be it. I just couldn't find any redeeming qualities about this movie. I'm glad to know that he didn't write it, because it's so, like, buddy cop stereotypical. It's just ridiculous. The difference, I think, is that there's not much action and there's way too much dialogue, and that's not a good thing in this movie. It just feels like the conversations just go on for way too long and they're just trying too hard and it just falls flat. Painful to watch.
Yeah, I can sort of see where you're coming from there.
There wasn't enough action at the end of the day. Like, for a, you know, buddy cop movie, it was just a bit... There was, what, 3 action scenes? They weren't even that great. I know he hasn't done action, but Tracy Morgan, I was surprised that he did this. No, it's the first time where I've been like, yeah, you're not funny, dude.
Well, we had, like, more known actors. Well, Bruce Willis obviously is in it, but, yeah, like, Tracy Morgan was known then for 30 Rock, but he was in that small cameo in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which I...
Yeah, he was. I love that.
Sean William Scott, of course, was in that as well, so he came back for this, and he was known by then. So that was fun.
I don't know. It just felt like this was trying to be Lethal Weapon.
That's sort of the problem,
and
I guess. When you've got,
really wasn't.
Like, when was when just... you've got big, you know, when you've got sort of really good buddy cop movies to, you know, that preceded you, you'll always be compared to them. No matter what movie you'll do,
well, it's probably... also the black white dynamic.
Yeah,
like it's just, I don't know. It just felt a little bit.
Well, I remember when they had the trailer came out for it. And
derivative
it was like...
would be the.
From, like, it said, from the it was Warner Brothers, wasn't it? So it's like,
yeah, yes.
From Warner Brothers, the people behind that brought you Dirty Harry and Lethal Weapon, and then it was this parody, jokey kind of cop-out comedy. But even then, it didn't really go through that many of the tropes to be a parody of cop movies. It had a few of them, but not that many to be like, this is a spoof of that. And then it wasn't funny enough to be like a flat-out comedy, and it wasn't actiony enough to be an action movie. So it just kind of was its own meandering kind of thing.
Now, it also had a bit of competition when it came out as well, because it sort of came out pretty much the same time as The Other Guys with Mark Wahlberg and... Will Ferrell, which was like, that movie is actually really funny. It's got a lot of good action pieces. It's what this movie should have been, pretty much. As coming in as Pillars directing that with all that dialogue and sort of not that super strong action side of things, you can certainly see why Kevin Smith jumped onto it, because it is sort of more of his style, I guess. But yeah, so when you do hear all the backstory of how just a horrible person Bruce Willis was to work with, it is very interesting. Sort of, it changes your perspective on him in general. But it was sort of nice to hear that Tracy Morgan just went hard, as in he was there all day, every day, willing to go. put a full effort in. Now, a little fact you may or may not know is Sean William Scott's character was actually meant to be played by Jason Mewes, but due to him relapsing, he was unable to be part of the film. I think that's very interesting. I think it would be very interesting to sort of to bring Jay into it, because we've only ever seen him as Jay at this point. So having him come into this would be very interesting, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if he would have suited the role, but I mean, I've heard a lot of improving from Sean William Scott was in the movie, so I don't know how much different the character would be if it was played by someone who's not traditionally an actor, but it's something to consider, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would have been interesting nonetheless. But in a movie that you can see Jason Mewes play a character other than Jay is another movie. Now, this came out technically before Cop Out. This came out in 2008. It's Zack and Miri Make a Porno.
What a segue. Sorry, you get segue points there.
Thank you. Now, this stars Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks, two high school friends that live together and in order to pay their bills, have to make a porno. It's essentially the basic concept of the film. Before we even get into it, I love this film. And I know that you do, Alistair, so I'm going to let you take it away.
Love it. And I think the reason I love it is because when I actually researched, this is the one I researched the most because I wanted to know all about it. I saw it when it came out because it looked hilarious. Apparently, this was Kevin Smith's attempt to be Judd Apatow, which I didn't know at the time. So kind of weird that he would... I don't like that this appeared in The Failures because I think this is, for me, like one of his biggest successes. This is like a cult film. Like, people I know, this is the only Kevin Smith film that they've ever seen and will probably ever see. So basically, it's a story about two average nobodies Seth Rogen's in it as well. I don't know if you said that.
Yes, I did.
So Zach, Seth Rogen, Elizabeth, Mary. They've been best friends since high school in this crappy apartment, working crappy jobs, all of that. So we're basically going nowhere, financially speaking. So they go to a high school reunion and decide that the only way that they'll ever make it big is to do their own porno movie.
Shortly after meeting Justin Long, coming in and explaining how much money he makes in gay porn.
I love him.
Love that scene.
So yeah, so they recruit a group to kind of help them do it. And that's Jeff Anderson, I want to say.
Yes.
And Jason Mewes. To bring the funny. So three kind of all together, and when Muse whips his cock out is the only way to put that line. Hilarious. Brandon Routh was in it as a weird cameo.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was awesome. Like, what? Okay. The only thing that I didn't like is when they kind of spent time exploring the softer sides of Zach and Miri's relationship, and especially Judd Apatow's. But yeah, so it's basically funny when it gets down to the business of letting them try to shoot a porno. Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Dylan?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just like Jersey Girl and Cop Out, where it's like, yeah, okay, this isn't too bad. It's not great. It's not bad. I liked, the Jeff Anderson from Clerks was in it, and he was really good, and he didn't stand out, like, as a non-actor. I really liked him in the role. Jason Mewes as well. It was good to see him playing a character rather than being Jay or himself. I really liked, when I watched it the first time, that Justin Long was in it, because he was getting bigger then, and I loved everything he'd done. Brandon Routh again, I was like, well, Brandon, like, he'd only just done Superman a few years before and nothing else. And I was like, it's cool to see him there. That he put Kenny Hotz from Kenny versus Spetty in there, my mind was blown. He was only in for like two shots, but that was awesome. I liked the way that their relationship built, that they were friends and it wasn't like a movie trope where they're like, oh, I've just realized that I love you all this time. It was kind of like her seeing him passionate and driven about something is what attracted her to him. So they were friends, but seeing that side of him is what attracted her more to him, and that's what I really liked. And I like how they said, if it's so easy, why isn't everyone else doing it? And he's like, because other people have options and dignity. And it made perfect sense. But yeah, I mean, some of the Star Wars stuff, it seemed like it was being really smart, like Star Wars, get it? But I'm sure that's a parody that has been done a million times before this. So all that stuff is a bit cringeworthy, all the Star Wars references and name things like that. But overall, it was like a nice, sweet kind of movie. Yeah.
See, I love this movie. I think this movie, like, second, it's like, look, as we've spoken before, we got Clerks 2 at the top, and I think Zack and Miri is certainly second for me. Every part about this movie, I think, is really, really smart and clever. I really love Judd Apatow movies too, so I guess I sort of see where that is. But essentially, what has happened is, you know, Kevin Smith has been making Judd Apatow movies, and then Judd Apatow manages to find a way to make them successful. So that's where Zack and Miri came from. I love all the bit characters in this. An example is Craig Robinson as Delaney. Oh, I just love him in this. I think great, great supporting character. I really like the, as you mentioned, Dylan, like the dynamic between, you know, Elizabeth Banks and Seth Rogen. As I said, it's not like, you know, there's something they've always had in each other. It just sort of, it came about semi-naturally. And there are sort of moments in this film where it is very Clerks-esque. It's just sort of like, well, you know, let's film a movie in the place we work because it's what I have access to. We'll film in the middle of the night like they did with Clerks. Then they'll do what they can. And obviously the big Star Wars reference, that's straight up Kevin Smith's alley. I can't even think of other words. I just love this film. I think it's really, really good. I think the performances are solid. Seth Rogen is just funny as hell. I highly, highly rate this movie. I personally don't deem it as a failure. Now, this movie ended up, you know, almost doubling its budget. Like, it had a pretty poor box office opening, like, in that first weekend. And that's sort of what deems as a failure in sort of Kevin Smith's eyes. It didn't sort of get that big cinema moment that he was hoping for. But as you mentioned, Alistair, it's straight up cult film. I love it. Love it so much.
I think it was, with the title, it was a bit taboo that they couldn't play it on cable after a certain time. And
they couldn't advertise it on TV until after 9:30 or something.
Yeah, and the posters had like their heads down below their waist on the opposite side of the posters. Elizabeth Banks with a shocked look and Seth Rogen with a shocked look.
Yeah, and like stick figure ones.
Yeah, that's right. They made that funny stick figure poster to kind of say, all right, if we can't advertise it, then how about this?
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a movie that really sort of just suffered from poor marketing, I guess.
They could have just called it Zack and Miri.
Yeah, well, there's a joke in a stand-up, actually. It's like, because they did that. Any advertising before 9:30 was being promoted as Zack and Miri, and then after 9:30 became Zack and Miri Make a Porno, and the joke in his Q&A was Zack and Miri is a movie that my mum would go see. Zack and Miri Make a Porno, probably not as much. But yeah, look, I straight love this movie. But out of the three movies we've looked at this week, overall, should we deem them as Kevin Smith's quote-unquote failures, as he would call them himself? Dylan?
I think Kevin Smith thinks everything he does is a failure. So on a scale of his point of view, yeah, I'd say he thinks they're failures, just because I think he expected to make, I'm going to make a romantic comedy. Romantic comedies make millions of dollars. How hard could it be? And he was just surprised that nobody went and saw it. And then he was like, all right, well, I'll do a broad comedy. And then, like Judd Apatow, and then nobody saw it. And he's like, what am I doing wrong here? I'm thinking I'm going to give up or something. Then he did an action comedy, and again, it failed on him. But I think they're all right movies. They're not terrible movies. I've seen a lot worse. I think, like, if you're just watching on a Saturday night, it's on TV, you'll be entertained. But they're not movies that I would have sought out to watch unless, like you said, Jersey Girl was a Kevin Smith movie. I wouldn't watch it really otherwise. And Cop Out, yeah, I mean, I used to like watching Bruce Willis movies, and then he made so many that are usually straight to DVD that it's hard to tell these days. So that's not engagement quality. Again, because it's Kevin Smith is why I wanted to watch it. And Zach and Mary, yeah, like exactly like you said, Ryan, it's all those things. It's like Clerks reinvented. And that was fun as well. So, yeah.
Elsa?
I would say Cop Out, definitely a failure. And the other two, definitely, maybe his standards are way too high. Maybe what he was expecting, so that's probably why he failures. Maybe he thought, I'm going to get so rich off this, blah, 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 it's going to be easy. So maybe that's why, I don't know, we'll probably never know. But I think the only one that I didn't like was Cop Out. Zach and Miri, for me, is like one of my favorite movies, so definitely not a failure.
I'm on the same boat as you, Alistair. I think Zach and Miri is by far one of the best films he's made. I love it. I think it's just perfect in pretty much all its ways. It's got that nice sort of sweetness of it, also with that just straight up crudeness of watching Jason Mewes, you know, dry hump an actress is just spot on stuff. Jersey Girl, I liked what it tried to be, and I really give him credit for doing something outside of what would have been his comfort zone at that point. And Cop Out, yeah, you directed it the best you can, I'd have to say. You know, he jumped into it for the right reasons, you know, sort of try something new, but sadly, the film that came out at the end was not the best. But that's enough of talking about Kevin Smith's failures. Next week, we're going to take a look at some of the things that he does best, and that is standing in front of a crowd and just talking to people, telling stories. So next week, we're going to take a look at some of his Q&As. Now, hopefully we get this one out on time because these Q&As are long. He is such a talker. So we're going to take a look at An Evening with Kevin Smith, and hopefully if we can get the whole three, we can get An Evening with Kevin Smith, An Evening with Kevin Smith, An Evening Harder, and A Three Evening with Kevin Smith, and maybe even his most recent, Too Fat for 40. So this is all we're going to delve into what we're going to expect here in Australia when he comes out in late September. So thank you very much, Dylan and Alistair, for joining us once again.
You're welcome.
But if you like the sound of our voices and you want to hear us in some other places, you can listen to Dylan on the Marvelous and DC Domination show on the novastream.com.au or the Novastream Network. Now, you can also hear Alistair's voice at many, many places around Novastream as he is the Papa Nova himself, the head of novastream.com.au. And if you like to hear my voice, you can also hear me at my radio show, The Pop Culturists. It's on a radio show in Geelong, 94.7 The Pulse. You can listen to it live every Thursday at 10 p.m. by searching for 947 The Pulse with the TuneIn radio app. And it's also found on novastream.com.au. So thank you all for listening, and we'll speak to you next week.